Good evening, everybody. Seeing as Rosh Hashanah is going to shortly be upon us, so we're going to be discussing a little bit tonight about merit of our ancestors. So this is a topic that comes up pretty much every day in our davening. As we start off every Silent Shemona Esrei, right, each of our whisper prayer, we start off by invoking the merit of our ancestors, Zechut Avot. The question is, what does that mean? So everybody's please feel free to open your screens if you can. That way, I can hopefully have a give and take and feedback. But if not, that's also okay. So when we're discussing the question of merit of our ancestors, so it's important. So there's a couple of questions that will come up. So one of the questions that comes up is, who exactly are our ancestors? Who is considered to be one of the Avot? So in order to answer that question, let's take a look first at when it's going to be mentioned on Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll take a look at where else it's mentioned as well. So first, let's take a look at where it's mentioned in Shemona Esrei. So here I have before us the a selection from Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. We have the first bracha of Avot, right, of the virtue of our forefathers, as the Mitzuda translation puts it. And so there we have listed three of our forefathers. We have, right, so there's two different things. We have Elokei Avotenu, meaning saying God of our fathers, and then a list, see, three specific fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now that we have those, so the question is, when we're invoking Zechut Avot, are those the only people that we're going to be invoking in terms of whose merits we'd like to have on our side? Is there possibly anybody else who you might consider to be one of the Avot? And any suggestions? Okay. So those suggestions, I'll take it from there then. So as far as which Avot are possible, so let's start with some of the people that are mentioned in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. The Musaf prayer of Rosh Hashanah is unique in that it has several different, that it quotes, it has three different, it has three special sections, Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, dealing with making God as king, God remembering us, as well as Shofarot, which is related to prayers involving Shofar, involving the ceremonial ram's horn. So we're going to focus more on the one of Zichronot, because there we mentioned some of our merits of some of our fathers. So here I'd like to focus on a couple of them. So one is that in particular, is when the verse when it talks about the pasuk refer in Tehillim talking about that Chazal say reference Rosh Hashanah says Kichok Yisrael Hu Mishpat L'Elohei Yaakov, right? So it means the day of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the moral week for say it is a statute for you Israel, a day of judgment of the God of Yaakov. So here specifically calling out Yaakov as opposed to any of the other Avot, which is interesting because normally when you talk about Rosh Hashanah, the main ones you focus on are Avraham and Yitzchak, because of a kid Yitzchak that also that occurred according to the Midrash on Rosh Hashanah. So that's one option. But when you look at the actual Pesukim quoted, so the first pasuk that's quoted actually isn't about, right, when we get to the actual meat of it, we would ask God to remember us. So we have three sets of three of Pesukim. We have three sets of Pesukim. We have so the first set of three is from Torah, the next set is from Nevi'im, and then Ketuvim. So, from the Torah, we actually start off by mentioning Noah. See, I highlighted it there. So, that God lovingly remembered Noah. So, that God remembered him on the Teva and didn't leave, and also all the, here, so we see here, that God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark and caused the wind to pass over the earth and the waters were calmed. So, here we see how literally all of all of mankind and animal kind are remembered by God, so therefore it's a very good thing to invoke, and we're trying to have God save us as well. but we also quote other psukim as well. We also quote from Sefer Shemot, where God hears the prayers of Bnei Yisrael, where it's a, and the, there the verse says, and God heard their groaning cry, and God remembered his covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So again, so here we have three, here we both have mentioning the cry of all of Bnei Yisrael, with a focus on three of the Avot. And similarly, we quote another passage from Vayikra where quotes, I'll read this one inside again. So I remember my covenant with Yaakov and also my covenant with Yitzchak and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember the land of Israel? I will remember. So we're saying all of this in order to help return everybody back, right? So this is the promise of God to all of Bnei Israel that we will all be able to return to Israel one day. So then we also quote three psukim from Tehillim, all of which are referring to times when God remembered Bnei Israel. And when we get to the Nevi'im section, we see that part of some psukim quoted, some relate to a psukim from that relate to all Bnei Israel, such as the one from Yirmiyahu, which you may remember from the song. Lestech acharai b'amidbar be'eret lo zeruah. Right, so that song is actually a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where God is saying, remember the youth of how our bridal days, of how you followed me into the wilderness in a land that was not cultivated. So again, remembering the merits of all of Bnei Israel. And we also have in Yechezkel, in Yechezkel, that where it says the Chariti Aniyat Briti, right? Or again, it's quoting harkening back to the old days, the days of your youth, I'll fulfill it as everlasting covenant. And also another pasuk from Yirmiyahu, it's a little near and dear to my heart because it's a source of the name for my son. So it's Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, right? Haben Yakir Li. Yachir li Ephraim im yelet shashuim shashuim. Right, so that song is from this pasuk and saying how God will always remember us. Right, so this is not referring to all of Bnei Israel. It's actually only referring to part of it. It's referring to the tribe of Ephraim, specifically representing the northern kingdom of Israel, because it was at a time when the northern kingdom had been exiled and God is saying that they will also one day be returned. So those are the points that we focus on when we are reading in Zichronot, when we are asking God to remember us. There also is there's one more pasuk that we quote, not in the formal part of the three sets of three, but later on, which we'll quote because it's also going to be relevant for later on in this year. So it says, I'll remember them the covenant of their forefathers who I took out of the land of Mitzrayim for the eyes of the nations to be their God. I am God. So that's from Vayikra. So here, worthy of note is that it says their forefathers, but it makes no mention of who exactly the forefathers are. So who are the forefathers? So if I say the word forefathers, everybody immediately thinks Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But what if I were to say, instead say, Schut Imahu? Everybody would automatically think I must be referring to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. But is it necessarily so clear cut that these are the people on the lists? So to that extent, I'd like to point out, so as far as who exactly are the considered to be the primary Havot, so if you were to take a look at source number two, so we have from the Apocrypha, meaning the Apocrypha are the works that did not quite make it into Tanakh. Why exactly is a good question, but they're not part of Tanakh. They're all written around towards the end of the Second Temple period or a little bit later. So here we have the Book of Tobit or Tuvia in Hebrew. So here he's in the middle of trying to, I apologize for using the English, in this case the King James Version, because I'm not so fluent in Greek, so I went with the English translation. So here we have him when he's saying that we are the children of the prophets, and he lists four of them: Noah, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right. So note that the fourth one there is Noah, who's also the one who we quoted above. So seemingly, so one option is that even Noah is considered to be one of the Avot. So why would you include Noah? So one of the options is because Noach had a covenant with God. So therefore, maybe that was the reason why he was particularly chosen. But the only problem with that is that Noach is only listed, is not listed at any point when we're invoking prayers throughout all of Tanakh. We normally invoke the skut of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We never invoke the skut of Noach. So most likely not a likely one. And also we have another apocryphal work. This is one known as Ben Sira, which is a wisdom work from, again, roughly from about 200 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, written by somebody named Ben Sira. So he also there, he has a, so there's two paragraphs, 44 and 45, where he goes through various merits of our forefathers and what they did. And in it, he adds, has a much longer list. In addition to Noah and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, he also adds Chanoch, meaning that's, so that's Noah's grandfather, as well as his, right? And then we also have, Moshe, which makes good sense, but he's added. We have Aaron also, and Pinchas. So Moshe and Aaron are a little more familiar because they get added up to the Shpizim list. But Pinchas, again, a little more unclear, but again, also could tie to the fact that Pinchas has a unique covenant with God when he's given the Brit Shalom. Again, so they're all added. But the question is this really where it ends? So in fact, we might even be able to add even more people to our list. So take a look at source number 4 at the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah. So commenting on the Pasuk of Hinezeh, omit, so again, also a song. You'll notice that we've quoted a lot of songs tonight. And again, more popular in Israel than here, but you may recognize the song of Hinezeh, omit achakot leinu. Mashkiach minachalano, matzitz minacharakim. I see that there's a typo in the text there, but yes. So again, so point is that, so translated, again, here it stands behind the wall, watches from the windows, peace from the slits. So what is this referring to? So the Midrash there explains that here it stands behind our wall means that the western wall of the temple is never going to be destroyed. And why did Hashem swear that it will never be destroyed? And that the priest gates and the rat gates, right? So Shar Kohen and Shar Chulda were never destroyed and will never be destroyed until God renews them and rebuilds the Beit HaMikdash. So this is known from the drasha based on that pasuk of which says Mashiach Menachalanot, watch it from the windows. This means the merit of the fathers, and peek from the windows is from the merits of the mothers. So this would seem to state that the merits of our ancestors, both our forefathers and our foremothers, our patriarchs and our matriarchs, seemingly last to this very day. But there are some sources that would seem that might not, and also that are also very expansive. But as in, so again, so that's the Avot and the Imahot. But does Avot necessarily mean just our patriarchs and our limited list that I've offered until now? So another option is that it's not just referring to your literal, to the patriarchs, it might refer to your literal parents. As we see in the Gemara Brachot, when they were debating as who's going to be the successor to Rabbi Gamliel, as the Nasi, the president, the leader of B'nai Yisrael, around the, again, this was in the, shortly after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so in the second century, common era. So here we have, so the end towards the end of it. So we have, here we have, they said maybe we should have Rabbi Akiva, but they said, no, we can't have Rabbi Akiva become the Nasi because he lacks the merit of his ancestors. He lacks Skut Avot in order to be protected in case somebody wishes him harm. So you can't say that this is because Rabbi Akiva has no connections to the patriarchs, because even if he's a convert from a family of converts, everybody knows that the way we call up the name of every convert is either, if they're a man, it's their father is Avraham Avinu and their mother is Sarah Imenu. So to say that they don't have to say they're not connected to the merits of our forefathers seems to be a little difficult. So maybe it's referring to the fact that simply he didn't have as long of a line of parents and grandparents because his parents were both converts, so he had less of an overall pool of merits to draw upon. So now let's take a look at what are these merits that he has to draw upon. So So what does that mean? You have those three out. So here we have a Pasuk in Tehillim stating that had not the God of my father, God of Abraham, and the fear of Yitzchak been with me, I would have been sent empty-handed, but God took notice of my plight and the toil of my hands, and he gave me judgment last night. So based on this pasuk, the Midrash Bibaraba the drasha on the book of Bamidbar, book of Numbers. So here's the Midrash. So it says that, what does it mean by the labor of your hands you shall eat? So that means that this is referring specifically to that of a convert, the ger, who has no merits from his ancestors. And in order that you don't say, woe is him for having no ancestral merits and all the good deeds that have only a reward in the world to come. And that is why this verse tells us the converts will eat both in this world and the next based on their actions. So this means to say that even the convert, so that the converts are missing isn't the specific connection to the forefathers, but to their actual parents that they don't have, to their actual Jewish parents, they don't have a concrete connection. So therefore, the merits that starts building up for them is actually their own merits, starts from where it starts building from. So now we have, as far as who is potentially the person to draw upon, so we have several options. One option is the avot are only Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. A second option is that maybe we'll include Noah. Maybe we'll expand it a little bit more. Maybe we'll expand it to start including to other figures, biblical figures. Maybe you'll include Adam HaRishon, the first man. Maybe you'll include Moshe and Aaron. Maybe you'll include Pinchas. And we also saw that might also be a general term. That might not just be, there might be two different types of skud avot, that of the actual avot of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is distinct from the merits that you'll see from your actual parents. So there might be these two different types of merits factoring in at the same time. So these are two different sets of merits, which we often tend to invoke in different situations. So the most commonly invoked one, obviously, is that of our three patriarchs, that of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But as far as whether or not that is always going to last us forever, so the problem is that we have the following Gemara in Shabbat. So there the Gemara says this is quoting from Pasuk in Yecheskel, that it says that slay utterly old and young, both maid and little children and women, but not come near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So the question is, what does it mean by the word tav there? What does that refer to? So, like, how is there being people marked or not marked? So Shmuel says, what is that letter tav there meaning, that mark? This letter tav is the first letter of the word tama, indicating that the merit of the patriarchs has ceased. We'll skip the brackets for now. That's the commentary of Rav Adin Steinsaltz. And then we'll continue. Rabbi Yochanan said, the letter tav is the first of the word tachon, meaning that we'll have mercy, like the word chen, that we say, so we say that God has chen for us, meaning that he has mercy for us. That indicates, due to the merits of the patriarchs of the Avot, God will have mercy on everyone. So, and then the Gemara goes on to continue within the opinion of that we the Suyot have run out, that we've run out of our merits. And the question is when. So we have the Amora Rav stating it was the name of Hoshea ben Be'eri. That's the Navi Hoshea from the Triasar, the 12 prophets at the end of the book of prophets, at the end of the section of Tanakh Nevi'im, prophets. Then we have Shmuel saying the name in the end of the days of the king Hazael. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying from the days of Eliyahu and Avi. And last, we have Rabbi Yochanan, the same, most perhaps even the same Rabbi Yochanan from before, saying they run out by the time of Hizkiyahu HaMelech. So that's right before the stretch of the first temple, which means that we have been without the merits of our fathers for a very long time. So while yes, we might still be able to invoke the merit of our immediate family or the interim ones, but based on this Gemara, how can we honestly keep saying and invoking Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov if all of their merits have been used up in order to cover for our sins? And not only, not just recently, but they ran out millennia ago, right? This is, so most of the figures mentioned were all from the first Beit HaMikdash, which was destroyed well over 2,500 years ago. So what are we left with? So to answer this question, so again, we're not the first ones bothered by this. So in fact, also the Gemara and the Midrash were also bothered by it. So one of the answers is we have the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Hanan, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Hanan, who quotes Rabbi Brachia and says, if you see that the merits of our patriarchs begin to falter, or and that the merits of our matriarchs begin to collapse, meaning we're losing out on Sekud Avot and Sekud Imahot, what should you do instead? Cleave to acts of kindness, right? To Gemilut Chasadim. As it says, right, this is all based on the verse for the mountains they move and the hills may be shaken. So when it says, what are the mountains? Harim, those are our forefathers. Va'ot, right, the hills, those are our matriarchs. And then we have, and then afterwards, then the verse continues with but my loyalty shall from you, nor my covenant never be shaken. When the covenant is of chesed, so right, so we see here. So since the word there is chesed, there like, in translation is loyalty, but in the original Yeshayahu, it's the word chesed, meaning acts of kindness. So that's how they learn that you should do acts of kindness instead. So that is one option. And the other option we have is, so that's one opinion, is that you're right, it ran out. We have no longer have any Sekud Avot or Imahot, right? Our matriarchs, the patriarchs, what they did is not enough to guide, to save us. The only way that we can be saved is by doing our own acts of kindness. The last opinion quoted in the Midrash of Vayikra Rabbah is actually that of Rabbi Acha, who says that no, really it is always going to continue to exist. And that is why it says in the pasuk in Dvarim, the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor will he let you perish. He will not forget the covenant which he made on the oath with your fathers. Right. So, quoting from that pasuk is from Dvarim. So quoting the pasuk is saying that since God will never forget the covenant, clearly these kuyot have not ran out, the merits have not ran dry. So the only issue is that, remember, I earlier in the shiur I highlighted the pasuk of the fact that we say that this is one of the pasukim we say on Rosh Hashanah as part of Zichronot is Zacharti et Briti Yaakov, Bavet Briti Yitzchak, Bavet Briti Avraham Eskor, Ba'aretz Eskor. This passage from Vayikra where it says that God will remember the covenant he has with Yaakov, the covenant with Yitzchak, and the covenant with Abraham, and he will remember, and the land will remember as well. So on this pasuk, on this verse, the Gemara in Yerushalmi, and Talmud Yerushalmi Sanhedrin, so all the Gemaras we've had until now, so it quotes all those little snippets I gave you, so it rearranges all of them in a different fashion. So whereas you may have thought before that it was going in one direction, here it rearranges it. Here it starts off by quoting this pasuk. Then it asks, has it run out or not? And it gives various opinions as to the time exactly when. And then I just want to skip down to the, and then afterwards, again, I didn't translate it because these are all parts we read already. And then after it says the time it runs out, then it talks about the fact of, mentions Rabbi Acha says, no, they've never run out. But the concluding opinion that they have is that of Rabbi Yudan ben Hanan, the name of Rabbi Brechia. And that opinion is that not only have the merits of our fathers seemingly run out, so have our mothers seemingly run out, but so all we have left to rely upon is that of our own actions, and we have to cleave to doing acts of chesed, acts of kindness for one another, because if not for that, there is no guarantee that we'll have any merit for ourselves. So by closing with that, as opposed to the rest, it seems like the Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi Sanhedrin is instead commenting that the real reason is the real reality is we simply don't have any left. But not to worry, that is not the only option. So yes, we do have the opinion of Rashi, which seems to say in Yeshayahu, that seems to say that in source number 12 that yeah, Tamas Kud Avot, the merit of our patriarchs has been depleted. So therefore that God is going to take vengeance against you because you don't deserve it anymore. That's it. Right? So that's it. But that's not the end of the story. We also have Tosfos was bothered by this possible conclusion of it being the end of it. So Tosfos gives two answers. Okay, so Tosfos, we're talking in the 12th and 13th centuries in France. So here we have two of the most famous Tosfos. We've got Rabbeinu Tam, who is Rashi's grandson, and we have the Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbeinu Tam says that while we may have ran out of merits, Zchut Avot, but there's something else, Brit Avot, the covenant that God made with our forefathers, our ancestors, and that can never run out. But there is one thing we're doing, and if we're just purely based on actions, you're right, it wouldn't be enough, but the fact is that God made a covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, a special Brit, and that Brit will never run out, and therefore we're still in good shape. And that's, again, and he quotes from the puzzle that's quoted by Rabbi Acha, in the fact that it's going to be in a positive sense, that we will never run out. Then we have Rabbi Yitzchak, who says another option that says that, no, that we misread the Gemara initially. The Gemara was talking about running out of merits or not. They weren't actually saying completely run out. What did that mean? It meant that until that point in time, we see that we talk about the running out of merits. We're not referring to the nation of a whole. We're talking about the wicked. So when Shmuel says merits have run out, it means for the wicked alone. And if you're going to say the merits haven't run out, it means that there's plenty of merits left for the righteous. So that means that if somebody is, so that's why at various times in Jewish history that then and those various names we heard earlier, where the Jews were punished because they were being wicked. And the fact that not only are they wicked, but there's also no longer merit of their ancestors to cover for them. So they're not being, so it's not that there's no more left. It's just that the bonus points that apply to everybody only ran out. But as far as the merits applying to those who are following the Father's footsteps, those continue. We also have the opinion of the Ramban, which is similar to Rabbeinu Tam, that it has ever run out. So this is on the pasuk of in Shmot of Zezri Chila Dor Dor. This is my memorial for all generations. This means that refers to God, right, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, that he will never forget the covenant that he had with our forefathers. And that's why we always say, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, because he will hear and answer them, as we see, according from Pasuk in Tehillim, that no matter what, again, the merits have not run out, our covenant is still in place, not to worry. But there's another option, even within those who say that the merits may have run out. We have the opinion of Rashi. So throughout all of the, again, this week, as well as throughout the Aseret Shmei Tshuva, we're going to be saying Slichot. Central to Slichot, all right, to the prayers for forgiveness, we say typically they're said either late at night or first thing in the morning. So central to that is the 13 attributes of God, the Yud Gimel Midot. And the question is, why do we say them and to what purpose? So here Rashi is explaining that the reason why God made himself appear in some manner before Moshe Rabbeinu to help atone for the sin of the golden calf was to teach them how to pray. And here's what it says. So here's where I'll read Rashi now in English. When it says, I'll call my goodness to pass before you. So what does that mean? So it means that the time has come for you to see my glory, that which I will allow you to see, because I want and need to teach you the order of prayer. For when you needed to ask mercy for Bnei Israel, you reminded me of the merit of the patriarchs, of the Avot. You thought that were the merit of the Patriarchs to be exhausted, there would be no longer any hope. One of the, right, because when Moshe prays to God after the Hayta Egel, so again, after the sin of the golden calf, and so one of the things that changes God's mind is mentioning the fact that we still have the merits of our forefathers, our Sfut Avot. So I will therefore cause to pass all the tributes of my goodness before you on the rock while you are concealed in the cave. So God is having the teaching about the way of and showing Moshe Rabbeinu his attributes in order to show a way to pray. The purpose of learning about God's attributes isn't simply experience. It's not simply because it's a magic formula. No, it's the way you pray is by beseeching God in this manner and by praying to God in this way. Even if you have no merits, God will still answer your prayers, because as long as you pray in the proper fashion, God will answer you. Okay, so, and then one last reason is based on the Torah, is quoted by the Torah, that is in addition to the question of when we're invoking the merits of our forefathers. So the question is that when we mention, again, this is quoting from our daily Shemoneh Esrei, when it says, it says that, and God remembers the mercy of the fathers and brings Redeemer to their sons for his name's sake in love. This means that it is customary to mention the mercy of the fathers and redemption, meaning the bracha of Gula. So, to say that even if the merits of the forefathers end, our redemption will exist forever, because God promised it in his great name. And when his name exists forever and ever, so our redemption and forever exists as well. And most of all, it means remember the kindness of our fathers for their sons and for the ultimate salvation. Even if the merits of the fathers run out, God will bring redemption to their sons for the sake of his name that will exist forever. So God is going to make sure to redeem us no matter what, because of the covenant, because of the kindnesses that the various fathers have done. Even if the technical merits have been run out, there still is the fact that the kindnesses that they've done still stand, even if the reward for them has been used up. So I would like to, so summarize what we've gone over so far, I'll wrap up and then if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask them. So we began by talking about who exactly is considered to be our forefathers and our foremothers, right? Who are considered to be our ancestors whose merits we request on Rosh Hashanah. So from the first bracha, it seems like we only are quoting Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We mentioned other opinions as to whether or not you can expand it to include Noah, according to the Apocryphal Tobit, according to the Apocryphal Ben Sira. We said maybe you could also add Chanoch, or also Moshe and Aaron, or even Pinchas. We also noted that there's times when the Gemara says something called Sturi Mahot, that of our forefathers and foremothers. But I'd also like to focus, but there's also the option that it's not just referring to them, it's referring to our actual parents, right? All of our, however our ancestors may be, because we also quote Sikkim for referring to all of B'nai Israel. So we refer to all of B'nai Israel. Unfortunately, we don't know all the names of all the millions of Jews so there have been throughout history, but it is in their merit that we invoke in Zichronot, we quote Sukkim about all of B'nai Israel at various points in history praying to God and God remembering them for the better. So therefore, potentially, any Jew is considered to be potentially to the merit of your forefathers or your foremothers. Merit of our ancestors is any Jew who came before you. In other words, the issue that came up, let's say somebody is a convert, how do they have merits? And the answer is they have also the merits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because we say that they are called Ben Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu, right? Children of Avram and Sarah. But as far as for their fact that they didn't have Jewish parents, so hence their merits, it's more focused on their own actions than on that of their parents. Then we discuss the question of, well, in regards to within the merits from our forefathers, meaning particularly the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, had their rat or not. And we mentioned various options. We began by discussing the Gemara in Shabbos, which said that they ran out. And the question was only when. And there's one opinion that said they did not run out. But again, it seemed like everybody agreed that they ran out, so that was a big problem. We mentioned that there is one solution of Riacha that says no, really, it can never run out because we still invoke it throughout throughout the Psukim, so it couldn't have run out. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yudan Ben Chanan, the name of Rabbi Brechia, who says that, well, it may be the case that we may actually truly be running out, but there still is the option of doing our own acts of kindness, of chesed, that allow us to rebuild whatever has been lost. And then we mentioned the Gemara and Talmud Yerushalmi said, well, actually, that concludes only with the opinion that it's running out, and we need to build it up ourselves, implying that we can no longer rely on the merits of our ancestors, and it's up to us alone. And we mentioned this, but that's not the only option. The one option is that there's a difference between the merits of our ancestors as opposed to the covenant, the brit, those of their ancestors. We mentioned, then there's Ramban, who simply says that, of course, it goes with the, of course, we're still connected, they haven't run out. Then there's opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that the merits ran out for the wicked, but for the righteous, they have not. And that, so therefore, if as long as you're doing the right thing, all of the merits of your forefathers will be there to help you. The only problem is if you're not doing the right thing. So we lost the free pass. We saw in the tour, which said that there's something special about the connecting to the God's eventual redemption that'll never go away, and that's what can't go away. And lastly, we had that of Rashi, who said that when we say "skud avot," that may have gone away, but the fact that what our fathers have taught us, particularly the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us how to ask of God and beseech God for a way to better pray and reach God, namely through the Yud Gimel Midot, the 13 attributes, that since we have those 13 attributes and a way to pray, even if one day we have run out of our merits of our ancestors, it's not a problem, because even if our merits aren't there, there still always is a way to pray. So thank you, everybody, for coming on. If anybody has any questions about the topic of Skud Avot, feel free to ask them now. I'm going to end the recording now.